1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police have captured a suspect in the targeted shootings of two Democratic lawmakers and their spouses in Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz.
After a two-day manhunt, two sleepless nights, law enforcement have apprehended Vance Bolter.
Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed, another legislator and his wife wounded. Israel and Iran have attacked each other for the fourth night in a row. At least five Israelis were killed. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Tel Aviv.
Buildings have been destroyed. Windows blown out, some reduced to rubble. Shops also have been demolished. It's been a rough night.
At least five people killed in flash flooding in West Virginia. Crews are using drones and search dogs to try to locate three still missing. Ohio County Emergency Management's Lou Vargo.
There were roughly 3 to 4 inches of water that fell in the area in less than an hour. That's very, very difficult to deal with.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Republicans have approved an increase in funding for Wisconsin schools at a fraction of what the governor asked for. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Republicans' plan increases school funding by about $330 million, but school districts will see no increase in general aid. Instead, that money goes to specific programs meant for special education and mental health. State Senator Mark Bourne, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee.
The governor's budget is always reckless spending that the state can't afford, and so we're choosing to make key investments and priorities, and these investments today will be some of the largest. They'll be the largest investments you'll see in the budget. I don't think we'll get to another agency where we'll put that level of funding in because it is a priority, but you have to be able to afford it.
Statewide, about 15% of students have individualized education plans, meaning they have some sort of special needs. Right now, for every dollar spent on special education, the state only pays about 31 cents. That's one of the lowest reimbursement rates in the nation. The governor's plan would have raised it to 60 cents. Republicans' proposal they approved last night increases special ed reimbursement from about 31 cents on the dollar to 37.5 cents. But according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it would increase reimbursement to 90% next year for kids with the highest level of needs. That's 3% of students in Wisconsin public schools. Republicans hope adding money for these programs will take some pressure off the rest of school districts' budgets. Meanwhile, leaders on the Joint Finance Committee also finalized tax cuts, a key priority for Republicans, by about $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites. Those cuts will apply to retirees and folks in the second lowest tax bracket. Of course, this proposal would need the governor's signature. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You're listening to WXCO News. I'm Brittany Merlot.
Another win for Priester. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball? The Brewers have the day off before heading to Chicago tomorrow night for a series against the Cubs. The crew with a 3-2 win over the Cardinals yesterday, thanks to 24-year-old Quinn Priester, the right-hander out of Cary, Illinois, who's now won 4 in a row. I asked him what went through his mind as he held St. Louis to just one run through 6 innings.
No excuses type of mentality. Even today, you know, don't get a strike, you know, don't get a call go your way. Like, who cares? Like, you can't change it. You know, complain about it, it's not going to help anybody. So just go out there, do the job, you know, that's asked to me, and try and exceed those expectations and help us win games.
Manager Pat Murphy.
Quinn was great. We've given him that opportunity, and he's riding it.
NBA Finals Game 5 tonight. The Thunder hosts the Pacers. The series tied at 2 games apiece. A blockbuster trade. The Grizzlies sending guard Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for 2 other players and 5 first-round draft picks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Matt Nair on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll talk with Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch about the weekend headlines and also check in with Clean Wisconsin on Pollinator Month. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, this is a special live edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Pat's not live from Lake Wissota, where he normally is. Instead, he's live, but he's kind of stuck in Canada. Joining us now is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, Parker Olson, thank you so much. How do you think he did? Please.
Woo! He was great.
All right.
Yeah. I was expecting you to say Regina, but...
I
really wanted you to say Regina.
I really did.
Next
time. The OBGYN is the one telling Regina jokes around here. So good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It is 6:06 here in Regina, Saskatchewan, on the prairies, 7:06 back in Wisconsin. Nice to have you along as we get rolling here with an up north edition of the show. It's not just that Tony's making comments up north in Ashland, or that Kristen Lyerly's up north in Hibbing, Minnesota, but somebody had to be up north of the border for the weekend and tried to get back yesterday, and his flight was canceled. So we're going back to the airport in Regina, even before the show is over, to try to make sure I can get home again and see if they'll let me back through. But in the meantime, today we've got Jeff Mandel from Law Forward joining us at the bottom of the hour here to talk about the group's efforts to avoid future instances of attempted billionaire bribery of our elections. In our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to author Laura Bird about memoirs. How they're not quite the same as autobiographies, and then she's got several great recommendations for memoirs that you can put on your summer reading list. We'll talk a little sports from over the weekend. Jimmy Koska will be along. John and Gordy from our Madison Civic Media Station will be here. Jane Matinair will preview her show coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. But first, I can report that from up here, it was sunny and near the mid-80s, Brittany, yesterday, where my first sunburn of the year came in Saskatchewan, of all places.
Wow.
Any chance that streak of warm weather continues when I get back to Wisconsin, hopefully today?
Well, the warmth will be here. We're waiting for you. I promise you that.
Good.
But sunshine, that's going to be far and few between, unfortunately. So we do have spots of it right now this morning. It is much further off to the east and down to the south. We are looking at swaths of moderate rain trying to roll in now towards Madison area. We've also got a few tiny little storms popping up from La Crosse up north, just to the east of the Chippewa Valley. And of course, those will be moving east as they go through this late morning. Otherwise, this afternoon, pretty calm out there. We will see partial sunshine. Highs will reach about 80 to 85 degrees today. It's going to be warm. It's going to be muggy. You can already feel it. It's kind of sticky out there this morning. Plus, we've got chances for strong to severe thunderstorms pushing through this evening. So, as this warm front lifts in, storms are going to be sparking up and a cold front does move through behind that. So this evening, probably around 6 to 8 o'clock or so, far northwest, it's probably the worst chances for these storms to have some large hail, damaging high wind gusts, and a tornado is possible too. So keep an eye on that. This area, of course, will be from Polk to St. Croix to Pierce counties. And then a slight risk still continues into the Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley, even up towards Douglas County and all the way down towards Trempealeau County. Those are severe areas where we are looking at those storms still staying strong. Now, as they move towards the central parts of the state and off east through about evening, now this is after dark, probably around midnight or so, it'll be towards the Dells and Green Bay, and then overnight towards Madison and Milwaukee, it should weaken. Of course, hail and high winds are still possible, but that tornado risk kind of winds down as we go into the evening. So that's moving through this evening, and we're still going to hang on to the heat and humidity tomorrow. More storms are going to be popping up. We'll keep tracking that for you. But we got to get through today first. So stay weather savvy this evening.
All right. We will do that. Brittany Merlot, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No
problem. All right. Geez, we were so busy in our last hour. I didn't even get to the Brewers taking 3 out of 4 from the Cardinals over the weekend, which was a pretty nice deal. You had Christian Yelich hitting a home run. Trevor McGill escaped a jam in the 9th inning and gave the Brewers a 3-2 victory over the Cards. In the finale of that 4-game series, the Brewers took 3 out of 4 from St. Louis. They've won 4 out of their last 6. Today, the Brewers have their first day off since the start of that 10-day homestand, which they split 5 wins, 5 losses. Now they are on the road this week with 3 games at Wrigley against the Chicago Cubs, then a weekend series next weekend at Target Field against the Minnesota Twins. And as for the Brewers playing the Cubs in this upcoming series, again, off today, but it resumes tomorrow at Wrigley Field. Pregame begins at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The NBA Finals are tied up at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tonight in Oklahoma City against Indiana. And up here in hockey, the Stanley Cup Finals, where folks up here would normally be rooting for, you know, maybe Calgary or Edmonton. Edmonton is in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they are down 3-2. Florida could clinch the Cup tomorrow, Game 6 in Florida. But if Edmonton wins, Game 7 will be Friday in Edmonton. And believe me, everybody around here is, you know, we'll have Oilers gear and just be rooting to finally give Canada their first Stanley Cup in a long, long time. And Kristen, you've got enough hockey going up around you to know that there are probably not a lot of Florida Panthers fans up on the range there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm like 30 minutes away from the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. It's all about the hockey up here. But we don't get that so much in Wisconsin because we don't have a pro team.
No, I know. And we haven't seen the Wild or the Blackhawks do much in several years in terms of advancing. So for us, it's much more of a, you know, a national thing here, whether a Canadian team is going to win or not, or a team from Florida.
I think we got to lean in more with regards to hockey on Badger women's hockey, because they are awesome all the time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh no. We have championed them a lot here, and we'll continue to do so. Let's see, from Robin Tigerton. He says, got to go find it here. Good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 55. I was busy Saturday doing a mowing job with the recent rains and warmer weather. I will be busy mowing lawns while dodging the raindrops. He said last night he had homemade pizza at his sister Lori's house in Caroline. She and her granddaughter Evelyn are going to Belgium for a 2-week tour. Let's see. He says his thoughts and prayers are with the families of the 2 Minnesota lawmakers. It's sad why people have to have different political views that can't get along and talk about their differences. Says that yesterday his cousin Lori Griepentrog passed away. She operated Matthew's Supper Club in Clintonville and gave me a spaghetti dinner for my birthday. Used to stay on the family farm when we were growing up. And then again, wants to say 5 of the best people to wake up to on a Monday: Pat, Kristen, Selena, Brittany, and Parker. So thank you very much for all of that. Cassandra adds, by the way, congrats to Kakana softball for winning the state title.
Go Ghosts! Woo woo!
Not just the state title, an undefeated season all the way through. Not a single loss to Kakana on their lose state title
ever. I don't think they lose at all.
I think they lost 1 game last season, and I think it might have been the state. Yeah, if they've won like 5 years in a row.
Yeah,
they're ridiculously good. This is not the Kakana I went to high school in. This is a whole new thing.
Yeah, Kristen's gone. We can be good at sports now. Congrats to all the champions. Kakana in Division 1, Denmark in Division 2, Poinette in Division 3, Mishicot in D4, and Belmont in Division 5. Those are all of your state softball champions. So thanks to everybody for reminding us to say our best to all those softball teams for a great season. Selena Heller talked to one of the organizers of the Chippewa Valley No Kings Rally, one of many that were held across the country over the weekend. So, Selena, tell us a bit more. We've introduced or we've spoken to the organizer. We've heard from her on this program before, and you got a chance to talk to her with her thoughts on how things went over the weekend.
Yeah, Cindy Greening is the leader of the Chippewa Valley Indivisible group that organized the No Kings Rally here in Eau Claire on Saturday, and then also Chippewa Falls later that day. So there were different estimates of the crowd size, or either 3,000 to 4,000 or just over that. So there was a big turnout, and she said it was kind of one of those events and days that kind of restores your faith in humanity, kind of a thing. So it was just a positive thing. And this is what she had to say about the event on Saturday in Eau Claire.
The main thing we started with, honestly, well, we talked about refreshing the Tree of Liberty, and that we were getting together because there are no kings in America, not now, not ever, and that we were here to celebrate we the people and to fight for our democracy and stand for our rights, that we were going to stand together with our friends and neighbors in our community to protect seniors, to protect veterans, to protect children, to protect people, you know, to make sure that we had a government that worked for us and not the billionaires, and that we had economic justice for all people, so that a decent week of work gave you a decent living. That was our stand, and our chant was, we are peaceful, we are joyful, we are free, and we love democracy.
And so one of the things she said, even though, like, you have to keep having more events and more rallies going forward and kind of the things to do next. And one of those things to do next is involve more people. And so that's what she talked about here.
One of my favorite things that happened yesterday in my speech, I said, you know, we need to welcome everyone. I welcome everyone who's here. The Dems are here. The progressives are here. The 5051 is here. The Working Family Party, the unions. And I hope our Republican friends are here. And the whole audience cheered. And I'm like, you guys, that's awesome. We need them. Thank you for cheering. We want our Republican friends with us. And so it was amazing. That was like one of those moments that gave me goosebumps, seriously, because there was no like booing. There was nothing. It was just like, yes, they are our community too. We want them safe too. And so that's what we're working on now, getting more people to join us and then working on these things that are supporting the people who have money so that we can have a representative government where they vote for us and what we need.
So she said it was just a kind of a just generally a nice positive event where they set out on a march, and there were so many people. This march was almost 2 miles long, and the beginning got back, and the end still hadn't left yet.
Oh my!
Cool. Yeah, it was just the people waited patiently an hour, and to get in to be in that line to march around the town, and it was just a neat event. She said,
"Oh wow! Well, that." That's an amazing turnout. And Kristen, you said you saw a great turnout in northern Minnesota of all places.
Yeah, we had over 500 people in a town that only has 3,000 people. Pretty impressive. And they were all over the place. I mean, if you looked at the No Kings maps, they were up in Canada. They were in Europe. They were in Guam, on almost every continent, because people, there are Americans everywhere. There are people who stand with us everywhere. And I love your point, Selena, about it's not Democrats, it's not Republicans, it's about us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Without a doubt. Kristen, we got a minute here before break. You want to tell us what is happening on the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show?
Oh my gosh, we had such a great light episode over the weekend. I just had a nice conversation with Pete Schwaba. Pete, our host for Nightlight on Civic Media. He unpacks some parts of his history. He was a stand-up comedian, and he has this great movie that he directed, produced, wrote, and starred in called The Godfather of Green Bay. I'm determined to turn it into a cult classic. Watch for it this fall.
The Godfather of Green Bay.
So good. There's the Macarena. There are all these little green. I mean, if you love the Packers, if you get Northeast Wisconsin, you got to see it.
Okay. Well, there you go. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. Kristen Lyerly is with us here, as is Selena Heller, Up North News reporter. And still ahead, we will be talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Then author Laura Bird, yet before things are all done. From the heart of America's Up North all the way to the Canadian prairie, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back.
Old Falls Radio, WXCO.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. It is Monday, June the 16th of 2025. Currently 61 degrees at our 98.9 WXCO studios in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. I am Chad Holmes, and this is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'll get back to Pat in just a few minutes, but at 22 after and 52 after the hours, in the 7 and 8 o'clock hours, we are able to come here and talk about what's going on here in North Central Wisconsin. Across the way is our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
A lot to talk about over the weekend.
Indeed.
A combination of, I would say, uplifting and also tragic news to talk about over the weekend. And we're going to start off by talking about Saturday here in the Wausau area in Rib Mountain on Rib Mountain Drive. Here in central Wisconsin, it was one of the nationwide No Kings rallies. And of course, people all over the country, millions of people all over the country got together and were able to show their opposition to Trump administration policies. And here in the Wausau area, somewhere just apparently, again, the numbers I'm seeing are talking about more than 800 people were along the road on Rib Mountain Drive on Saturday. I was there myself and wanted to
talk. I saw some of the pictures you took, too.
Yeah, it was a wet day, but yet people were not stopped from coming out and being part of this event. And whether it was here in the Wausau area or throughout the country, it was, I think, a very powerful and a very peaceful event, and especially here in north central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was there for the entirety of the event, which ran from 12 noon until 2 p.m. People lined up and were very, I would say, uplifted. And it was not a angry group of people. It was not folks who Donald Trump would like to say hate America. There were people, every one of them, waving their flags, signs in support of what the United States of America stands for as we near the 249th anniversary of the USA coming up on July 4th. And basically, it was a pushback. It's not to allow Donald Trump to define what America is or what America is not. Not to let Donald Trump be able to define who loves America and who does not love America. No, this was about people standing up for America even more than against Donald Trump. Yes, obviously, there were lots of folks with their signs pushing back against the current president of the United States. But at the same time, there were so many banners and signs that were about what America is about. And also, there were signs even that I saw right when I arrived there talking about stopping the hate and trying to have folks come together. And in the aftermath of the tragedy that occurred in Minnesota early Saturday morning, it hit the spot, I thought, hit the bullseye. I'll be talking more about that aspect of the weekend coming up a little bit later on. But this was about saying, Donald Trump, we're not going to let you take the flag. It was Flag Day as well. We're not going to let you say what is patriotic and what is not. We're not going to let you say what constitutes loving America and what constitutes not. So again, it was in so many ways emblematic of what this country is about. This was democracy in action. This was people standing up for their rights that were fought for 2.5 centuries ago and fought for again and again and again over the years. And for Donald Trump to try to say, well, if you don't agree with me, you hate America, is wrong in every way.
Yes, it is.
And he does that all the time. If you disagree with Donald Trump, he'll say, well, these people hate America. Donald Trump thinks that loving America equals loving what he likes or his policies. No, that is not the case at all. But the way that the folks were out there, even during points in the second hour of the event on Saturday, the rain was coming down hard. It was not a it was not a pleasant couple of hours in terms of the weather, but nobody complained. Nobody, as far as I could tell, was leaving until the event came to a close. And something else that jumped out is sometimes, you know, you want to hear support from the folks going down the road, hear the honks of the horn, hear see the waves. And the percentage of folks that were driving by that either gave a thumbs up or a wave or a honk of the horn was as high as I can ever recall at any similar type event. There's always going to be a few that disagree, which is fine. You know, there were a few that would
allowed to disagree.
They would give their salute with a certain finger or a thumbs down, but it was very few. And it was a case of where it did feel like there was overwhelming support. And again, you can't take rallies and then say, well, that's what it means ultimately. Because I recall last fall, there was a lot more energy and numbers when it came to the events that occurred in the Kamala Harris campaign as opposed to the Donald Trump campaign. You saw a lot more empty seats and a lot less energy at Trump events than Harris events. And in the end, it did not lead to a victory for the Democratic nominee. Yeah. But I think this is more than just numbers. This is more than just vibes. This is about standing up and sending a message that America is more than what Donald Trump says it is. And I thought it was just an uplifting event. And as I said, very peaceful, very joyous as well. This was not an angry event. We're going to take a time out. We're going to have more on this incredible weekend in about 22 minutes. But more of Pat Kreitlow coming up next. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Metnair on Air.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tariffs and global tensions are creating challenges for U.S. dairy to find new markets. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I talked about it with Krista Harden. She is the CEO and president of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Their charge, trying to find new markets for U.S. dairy around the world, regardless of trade policies.
And that group started looking at homes for other products. And it was only about 5% in those days of what we were producing that needed to find a home. Now it's getting closer to somewhere 18, almost getting closer to 20% of high value, wonderful products that are produced by our dairy farmers across the country that need a home outside of our borders. We're already in, Pam. I think your listeners know this, and about 96% of households in the U.S.
Krista Harden, she's the CEO and president of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, talking with me on Friday. She says, despite that high usage rate of U.S. consumers and dairy, it's not enough to offset the tremendous production that U.S. dairy has. That's why they continue to forge those international relationships. You'll be able to find more with my conversation and Krista Harden on MidwestFarmReport.com. We'll get to the markets next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was down a penny and a half, 183 and a half. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter to 183 and three quarters, while AA butter gained 2.5 cents to finish the week, 257 a pound. This morning, July corn's down 2, December new crop down 3 at 440. July soybeans are up 3, November new crop up a nickel at 1059. July wheat 7.5 cents lower currently, 536. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now down 2 at 1811 a hundredweight. There's your snapshot on where the markets stand on a Monday morning. I'm Farm Director PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
So, live radio is fun. Live radio can be funny.
Today is the day of all days.
Today, exactly. Let me tell you, before we tell you why we don't have a guest coming up here, I will tell you that, again, for folks watching on social media and they're going, why is there a fake background behind you? Well, because I'm in a friend's guest bedroom in Regina where I'm currently stranded. And there's nothing on the walls here. It looks terrible. So I took a picture of the backyard where I would love to be doing the show, but it's too far away from their router. And you can't really see Parker from here, but, you know, look around in here. There are prairie dog holes in this thing. There are prairie dogs out in this you know, backyard. They're on a couple of acres here.
I didn't realize there was that much nature there. Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I go upstairs and Sherry's up on the deck there, you know, and taking in the sunrise and is watching the prairie dogs frolicking in the backyard. So I got that going for me, which is nice. If you're going to be stuck in Canada for one extra day, you know, you may as well make the best of it with the prairie dogs. Anyway, so I'm upstairs doing that and then come back down and expecting to see Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. And we've learned a lesson here today about the worldwide reach of civic media and the many studios that you have. And you often hear me say that Parker is in Studio A2. Well, there is an A1. And it's where John and Gordy do their show for the local Madison station. And that's the one that you see when you first walk into the Civic Media offices. You see that spacious A1. Parker's in a broom closet down the hall.
Pretty much.
That's A2. And it works. It works fine, especially since he put that Civic Media banner up behind him. So it no longer looks as sparse as this guest bedroom looks. So at least we know. However, when our guest arrived and only saw Studio A1, and the guys there said, well, we don't have you down as a guest, Jeff had it headed back out. So we don't have Jeff Mandel here right now. So it's somebody that we'll reach and rebook at another time and put him on there. In the meantime, you get me talking about prairie dogs and things like that.
I like that. I can listen to prairie dog talk.
Yeah, it totally does. And we have other things, of course, to go over, things that we didn't think we'd have time for because of, you know, the events over the weekend and the guests that we have and everything else going on. For example, the Democratic State Convention did take place over the weekend and a new chair was elected, and it is Devin Remicker. Devin was the former executive director of the party. He was endorsed by Ben Wickler, the outgoing chair, and won. He had a lead after the first round of voting, not quite a majority. And then in the what happened is they used ranked choice voting. And so the person who came in third in this case was William Garcia. So he was eliminated. And in ranked choice voting, if you're not familiar with it, you don't just fill out a ballot with one person's name. You can rank the candidates as many as you want or as few as you want. In this case, I'm guessing almost everybody ranked a 1, 2, and 3 on theirs. And so with William Garcia coming in third and being eliminated, they look at all of his ballots and say, okay, now take his number two choices and go over here. And when all was said and done, there were just enough more votes for Devin Remicker to give him a majority and hence a victory over Joe Zepecki in this race. Though I don't doubt for a moment that Joe Zepecki and William Garcia are going to stay active and positive and united. And That's what the party is looking for heading into the 2026 cycle when they're taking on people like Derek Van Orden. And I believe Tony's putting up on YouTube right now. Can we just riff on how awful Derek Van Orden is? I think like a whole segment, swearing optional. Yeah, swearing will have to be optional because of, you know, the way that radio works. However, in light of the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting and wounding of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife, Derek Van Orden was among those spreading misinformation and essentially downright gleeful, almost, in their sounding about, oh, this was a far lefty who shot and killed these people and wounded these people. And that wasn't the case at all. This was a typical white Christian nationalist who had worked for security firms, who had done some preaching that could very easily be called politically extreme. And he was one of theirs. But because it wasn't obvious at first, people like Van Orden and Scott Walker and Utah Senator Mike Lee were spreading misinformation in, again, an almost gleeful way. And then when somebody called out Van Orden on it, and I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, but saying something about, we'll get you next time. And it was obvious from anybody's point of view that this person was talking about at the ballot box, Derek Van Orden coming up for re-election in 2026. And again, a sitting congressman had to do the most juvenile of things and say, what do you mean next time? Is that a threat? I'm going to have you reported or something like that. That's the kind of insecure person we have representing Congress in the 3rd District right now in Western and parts of Central Wisconsin. And again, I could spend time telling you the kinds of things that Scott Walker said or others that said it. I'm going to leave it there to say that thank goodness there are now places like Civic Media, Up North News, Courier Newsroom, and others, because I have no confidence that some of the more traditional media sites would tell you all of this. Instead, they would simply get away with it, or they would say something about, somebody was fact-challenged or premature in their speculation about the events. No, they were straight up passing along misinformation, which, again, any old keyboard warrior can do that. Not an elected official. Again, there's supposed to be a higher standard. And when Tony puts on YouTube there, the thinnest skinned politician I've ever seen, he's not kidding. Because we've talked about this with Van Orden and others. I think of, legislators. A good example would be State Senator Romaine Quinn up in Rice Lake. They love to get into the comment sections and mix it up with people. And by mix it up, I don't mean simply setting the record straight. I'm talking, a level of insults and things like that that are just, again, should be beneath the dignity of the office. And I know we talk a lot about how, we get cynical about politicians and we don't hold them to as high a standard as we should. The fact of the matter is we should. The fact of the matter is we do spend so much time trashing politicians that now far too many politicians think, well, I guess that's what we're supposed to be, is we're supposed to be down here in the gutter. It's certainly the kind of thing that, Donald Trump normalized starting 10 years ago today when he went for that ride down that escalator. We don't have to let that happen. And that was really a big part of the point of view of the rallies. So, I mean, look, you're going to have people that would rather make up impressions of that military parade, much like Trump's first inauguration, and try to talk about crowd size and that it was all of that. No, our wonderful military was co-opted by a president who was as insecure as Derek Van Orden or anybody else. Cassandra puts up on YouTube, honestly, two people were brutally murdered and all they want to do is develop conspiracy theories. Imagine how their children's children are feeling today. And Hartman's son is getting married later this year, and now his mom and his dad won't be there. Again, they're humans. And yet we've had such a trend of dehumanizing politicians that come from other politicians who either dehumanize their opponents or they dehumanize people like immigrants. And that's the thing to keep in mind about this particular tragedy, when this happened. It's also part of what led to the conspiracy theories to begin with. And what I mean by that is, let's talk about Representative Melissa Hortman for a moment, the one who was murdered along with her husband. She had been Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives for 6 years prior, and actually should have still been Speaker. But when Donald Trump won election in November, there were enough other close races that for a time, the Minnesota House of Representatives was split down the middle, 67 and 67. And so in a power-sharing agreement, Melissa Hortman stepped down as Speaker, served instead as Democratic leader, and a Republican was serving as the Speaker. They're doing their state budget cycle right now, same as here in Wisconsin. Unlike Wisconsin, where state government doesn't shut down, if there's no budget deal, then the old budget just continues. In Minnesota, there can be a shutdown of state government if a new budget bill isn't passed, and that means a lot of essential services don't get carried out. Melissa Hortman made the politically courageous decision to understand that sometimes you don't get everything you want, but you still serve the greater good. It brought her much pain to agree to this budget deal where Republicans were threatening to shut down state government unless the budget deal included a provision that would make undocumented immigrants in Minnesota ineligible for the state's version of Medicaid, the healthcare program for low-income residents. So again, let me make this clear. This was Minnesota Republicans saying, we will shut down government because we want to tell fellow human beings they're not human enough for us to get help when they're sick or ill or in an accident. Hortman, being the leader of the Democrats, did not put anybody else at political risk to make sure that the bill would pass and state government would continue on. She was the lone Democratic vote, so that bill would pass, I would imagine, 68 to 66. And she was in tears afterwards. She told reporters afterwards, I know people will be hurt by that vote. But she said, I did what leaders do. I stepped up and I got the job done for the people of Minnesota. It did lead to speculation and rampant misinformation that it was that vote that triggered what they wanted to believe was a left-wing gunman who killed her and her husband and shot and wounded another legislator and his wife. But this gunman's history is very much in line with growing right-wing violence. It was clear this was something that he had been planning for a time. There were the preparations there. And while we don't know his full motives, let's say this much. The Minnesota House of Representatives is now one Democrat short. And for a time, the Minnesota Senate will be one Democrat short. It, too, is closely divided. And the only right thing to happen right now is for the Republicans in the Minnesota House, and the Senate for that matter, to say that there will be one of their own members who will not be casting votes, that you will not let murder determine the voting majority and political control in the Minnesota legislature. That's a must. It's an absolute must. Maybe it's happened already. I haven't checked. I certainly don't expect Republican leadership to be defiant about this somehow. They joined with Minnesota Democrats in condemning these killings. And by the way, the same happened for the Big Four in Wisconsin, where the Democratic and Republican leaders all made statements together condemning this violence. You cannot allow it to change the voting counts in these places, because if we do, I mean, I already fear we're going to see more of this as it is. It's just not something we want to encourage. John and Gordy and Laura Bird are in our next hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the Big Brutal Bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Overcast skies and 62 degrees right now in downtown Wausau at our studios from the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Talked in our first segment about the No Kings rally that was held here in central Wisconsin in Rib Mountain on Saturday.
Yeah,
very large crowd that appeared. There were a couple of other major stories that occurred over the weekend. Of course, there was the parade that was held in Washington, D.C. in honor of the Army's 250th birthday. I'm going to talk a bit about that later on in the program. But also, there was a tragedy early Saturday morning.
I heard about this.
It's almost too horrific to think that things like this happen in this country. But Democratic Minnesota state representative, former speaker Melissa Hortman, and her husband were assassinated in their own home, while Democratic Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife were both miraculously not killed. I mean, when you hear what happened to Senator Hoffman and his wife, I believe the numbers were 9 times the senator was shot, 8 times his wife was shot, and somehow they survived, which is just a miracle. And over the weekend, people were watching, waiting for this suspect, a 57-year-old man named Vance Bolter, to be caught. He was on the run for much of the weekend. And then finally last night, just before I was going to bed, word came down that authorities had arrested Bolter. And there are so many layers to this that are disturbing. Number one is that this man committed the crimes while dressed up as a police officer and driving an SUV made to look like a police vehicle. You open the door and you see somebody who looks like a police officer, and you just assume to trust that person. And for that person then to kill these elected officials in Minnesota is awful, because what happens the next time a police officer is looking for somebody that's committed a crime in a neighborhood, knocks on a door? You can't, the idea of having that mistrust in the back of your head is just scary, because maybe we could be 99.9%. There'll be no problem that it's a police officer serving the public. But then there's this 1%, 0.1% where this person is using folks' trust in a law officer in order to get into their home and hurt them or even kill them. So the good news is an incredible amount of great work was done by authorities in Minnesota to arrest Vance Bolter, who will appear in court later today. But I have to say that at a certain point, average conservatives have to stand up and tell the President of the United States and other lackeys thereof that in certain circumstances, you have to be better. And yesterday, Donald Trump, instead of doing the ultimate layup, the ultimate simplest thing you can do in a circumstance like this, refused to do it. When Donald Trump had his life threatened in Pennsylvania last summer, immediately the President of the United States, Joe Biden, reached out to Trump and his team, reached out to everyone saying this is beyond the pale, this is wrong, 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 sending best wishes. Yesterday, Trump was asked, well, are you going to reach out to the governor who is leading the response on this? And Donald Trump needed to say, well, I might, but he's doing a terrible job. He's a terrible governor.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Why can't he be presidential even for a moment? And then last night, instead of, again, trying to bring together a country in the aftermath of such a tragedy, last evening, as the manhunt was continuing, Trump posted another rant on his Truth Social site, lying that Democrats are, quote, sick of mind, hate our country, and all actually want to destroy our inner cities. There is something wrong with them, end quote. And then he went on to say that what he's been doing in Los Angeles, he's going to spread to Chicago and New York and other large cities, which he calls the core of the Dem power center, where they use illegal aliens to expand their voter base. So continuing to add gasoline to the fire that is going on in this country. I mentioned earlier that during the No Kings rally that I attended on Saturday in Rib Mountain, there was nothing like this kind of hatred. That this was about trying to make our America the best America it can possibly be. But it's not up to me or you or others maybe that disagree with the president to call him out. It's time for those conservatives who I think want our country to be better to start calling out this kind of behavior. And I didn't even get into Senator Mike Lee of Utah, which I'm going to touch on in the next hour, because to talk about disgusting, it does not get much more disgusting than Senator Mike Lee. But I call on conservatives, if they don't think this is right, to stand up finally and say something.
Please.
Information update coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A suspect's in custody in the murders of a Minnesota state senator and her husband. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
They say they found a list of more than 50 possible targets, including lawmakers and abortion rights advocates and clinics.
Another state lawmaker and his wife were wounded. Iran's fired a new wave of missile attacks on Israel. At least five people have been killed. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
A ballistic missile from Iran carries a 2,000-pound warhead, and some of these have been able to evade Israeli defenses and crash into heavily populated areas with deadly consequences.
Israel says it's achieved air superiority over Tehran. Shohei Ohtani will be on the mound for the first time since August 2023 at tonight's game against the Padres. L.A. manager Dave Roberts.
It's great for the game. It's good for our team. Our guys are excited about this potential. And obviously, most important, I'm excited for Shohei.
CBS News Brief.